Hello, and welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. We're dedicated to sharing Great Loop information and inspiration with those actively cruising, planning for, or dreaming about a Great Loop adventure. This is Kim Russo, the director of AGLCA. We're at that time of the year where many of our loopers are planning their Gulf crossing. They're either gathering in Carrabelle or somewhere on the Panhandle getting ready to make that crossing, and some have already made the crossing. But once they get to the other side on the Gulf, most of them will have Tarpon Springs as their first stop, and that will be a very welcome site for them. My guest today is Herb Seaton, who is our harbor host for Tarpon Springs, and he's going to fill us in on what loopers will see and do there and tell us a little bit more about the city itself. Before we jump into the topic, though, I do want to take a moment to recognize and thank our Admiral sponsors who support AGLCA at the highest level. They are Curtis Stokes and Associates, Dog River Marina, Passage Maker Trawler Fest, Skipper Bob Publications, United Yacht Sales of the Carolinas, and Waterway Guide Media. As always, we encourage the loopers out there and the other boaters out there to support these businesses that support the Great Loop. With that out of the way, I'd like to welcome Herb Seaton. Thanks for joining me.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
And also thank you for volunteering to be a harbor host for Tarpon Springs. The harbor host provides such a great service to the members that are actively cruising, and we always need that local knowledge. So thank you for that as well.
You're certainly welcome.
Let's start off, if you would, tell us a little bit about your boating experience and knowledge, and specifically about the waterways in and around Tarpon Springs.
Well, I think I mentioned it when I was at the rendezvous. That was my first rendezvous since I only joined in April of this year. And I kind of stayed on the edges and kept quiet and tried to learn as much as I can. And I saw what a great job you all were doing to run this organization. And I thought it was important that I try to contribute as much as I can. Since I've been around Tarpon Springs since I returned from Germany in 2000, I've owned the boat since about 2005. I bought my first boat and rebuilt them, and I've been at the same marina ever since and on the same river ever since. So I'm a little bit familiar, but although from the channel marker where you start up the Anclot River, it's only 4 miles, 4 nautical miles from that point up to the end of the navigable part of the river. So it's not a lot to say, not a lot to do, but there's a lot going on in town where Tarpon Springs is located.
Right. Well, tell us, let's start off, if there are loopers finishing that Gulf crossing, and for some of the loopers, that's about a 20-hour crossing. So they're going to be coming in and heading for Tarpon Springs. What's the first thing they're really going to see when they come off the open waters of the Gulf?
Well, they're going to see a big smokestack. That's just to the left of the channel marker. You cannot miss that. That'll be before you see anything else. There's a power plant there, some nice county parks where people enjoy themselves, a boat ramp, a little beach that's there, and a good anchorage back in there also. Once they come through all the crab pots that are out there right now, since the season opened on the 15th of October, you've got to be careful getting into there, and even in the channel, people put crab pots sometimes. So you don't want to hit one of those, foul the propeller, tear up one of the crabs. So what I'd recommend when you get out there and start down the channel, just take your time, line up on that big smokestack, and first thing you'll see there is a little recreation area. And then there's about 8 marinas up the river, and most of them are full-service marinas. Plus, there's also another thing they're going to run into are large fishing vessels that are either home-ported there, or there's quite a few service facilities for those vessels also. That's one of the first things that they'll see when they're coming down through there. I checked on some gas and fuel prices today. They were running about $3 a gallon for diesel, and as an average, those plenty of places available for that.
Okay. To back up for just 1 minute, my boating experience is primarily in Charleston, South Carolina, so I'm familiar with the idea of the crab pots. But we do have a lot of boaters who are lake boaters or who really haven't experienced that. And I've done some seminars where people have stopped me and said, what are those and how do I know when I'm coming across one? So could you just describe what people would be seeing on the water when they're coming into that field of crab pots?
Well, I just posted something on the forum about a half an hour ago. And what you'll find some guys lay them right in a line. So it'd be like running a racing slalom course. Best thing to do is just have a couple of people watch out for them. They're normally just a small, about half the size of a basketball, hopefully white, so you can see them contrasted against the water. And it'll just be a styrofoam bowl hanging there in the water. And below that will be a box. Normally they're about 24 by 24, and they are something that you don't want to get into because they'll foul the props on smaller boats, and it'll pull the crab trap right up into the boat, possibly.
Right. So yeah, certainly something that boaters want to be aware
avoid
of on their
at
way
all costs.
There. Yes, and there was some chatter on the discussion forum that I know you chimed in on which buoys and which markers the crab pot fields tend to be closer to. I believe your answer was just they're kind of everywhere out there right now. Would you say
they
that
are
pretty close?
Mm-hmm. They are.
Okay, so definitely are, something to be cautious of as you're approaching Tarpon Springs.
Absolutely.
Okay. You mentioned. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Nope, okay.
Okay.
I was just saying that there's not any way to avoid them. You just have to watch out for them and go slow. That's all you can say.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, and you mentioned as people kind of enter the river, there are 8 or so marinas. And thank you, by the way, for making the effort to check those fuel prices for us. Any particular marinas that can handle all kinds of repairs, or are they all able to do that?
Most of them are able to do that. The Port Tarpon Marina is quite large, and it's one of the big ones that's sort of right in the middle. It's about three miles in. It's quite a large marina with all the facilities. The marina that I'm in, a little bit smaller, but they have a good service facility there. One thing I think everybody runs into this, you don't get anything done really quickly normally at a marina, although the people at where I am, they're pretty responsive if you don't need a lot of parts. I had a looper that contacted me asking for overnight, and I checked a couple places, found him a slip. And when I send an email back to notify him of that, can't make it, it's going to be after next weekend because his transmission had gone out and he was having trouble
right.
with the part.
That
so
certainly happens, and most loopers are kind of, most loopers are used to having to deal with those little changes in plans. And many of them do a lot of maintenance just prior to their Gulf crossing so that they can be extra sure that they're not going to have issues while they're out there in the open water. So probably not a lot of repairs needed in Tarpon Springs, at least we hope not.
Me too.
So you mentioned one anchorage on your way into the river. Is there a name for that anchorage or any other details you can give so
there,
people can find that
if
easily?
People have, what they'll find after they hit R4 on the right side to the west, they'll see a group of islands. That is the Anclot Keys. The northernmost one is where everybody goes on the weekend and rafts up or pulls right up on the sand. They pitch their tents and everything and enjoy the water out there. The next big one would be the Anclot Key, and that's where the lighthouse is. That lighthouse was built during Grover Cleveland's presidency. Lordy, who knows when that was. But around 1836, somewhere in there, I believe. And that's interesting. They, of course, it became dilapidated and went into disrepair, but the government, of course, decided that it should be fixed up and cleaned up, and now you can actually pull right up to the dock there and tour that facility, but there's not much there. A lot of rattlesnakes on these keys around here.
Well, that's another good thing to know before you get out and start exploring. Plus, you've been boating in the Turbine Springs area, I think you said, for 10 years now. So what are some of your favorite spots on the water around Turbine Springs?
Oh, any of the bars, you know, that you can pull up to. The good thing about The good thing about Turbine Springs is as you come up to the head waters there of the river as far as you can go, a lot of the Greek restaurants are right up against the edge. And although with most of our size boats, it's kind of hard to raft up. There's not much of a wall there or to tie up to. The city marina is located right there at the end. Oftentimes, I checked with the dockmaster there last week before I went to Fort Lauderdale, and he told me that that he did have space, you know, intermittently. There is a yacht club also that's in Tarpon Springs, a very small one, but they also have a couple of spaces in there. The only problem with that is you need to be about three and no more than, say, 4 feet keel depth there, or with low tide, you'll run into trouble either coming in or going out of there. There's another marina that's close by, which is also Turtle Creek, a very nice marina, new, with a lot of facilities and a lot of storage facilities there. Those are the Tarpon, Port Tarpon, the landings where I am. Although they're not very big marinas because the river's not very big. And the one thing that people should watch for all up and down the West Coast, of course, is it's very shallow. I repeat, it's very shallow. And stay in the channel. As I posted on the forum, you want to stay coming down the Anclot River channel. You want to stay close to the red markers, both going and coming. In front of the Port Tarpon Marina, there is a large rock that when they dredged, they could not remove the rock. Sometimes it's marked, sometimes it's not. But it's between two green marks there, so if you stay close to the red marker, you won't have any trouble. There's also a couple little wrecks. There's a vessel that a fishing vessel last year that fueled at the fuel docks there, the commercial fuel docks, and it loaded about 500 gallons of fuel, and it immediately caught on fire. He said in the side of the river for about a month and a half, but he's gone, so there's not a problem. As people come in, as people come into the beginning of the channel, the river where it starts, if they'll notice over on Anclot Key, there's two or three sailboats that are on their side where they were blown in and they didn't recover them. They're still sitting there. So it's very shallow. Watch the depth markers, please.
That's great local knowledge, and that's exactly why the harbor hosts are so important to AGLCA and to the loopers, because that's the kind of thing that you all, having the local knowledge, are really the best resource for that type of information. So we appreciate that. I'm going to take a short break to play a message from one of our sponsors, and this is actually from a sponsor in Fort Myers Beach. So after leaving Tarpon Springs, you're certainly headed in their direction. Here is a message from Pink Shell Marina.
When staying at the new Fort Myers Beach Marina, enjoy full resort access to the Pink Shell Beach Resort, complete with concierge services three pools and two restaurants, Pink Shell Beach Resort and Marina is located along 1/4 mile of Sugar White Sand Beach. As a Marina guest, you will have access to their fitness center, shower facilities at the full-service Aquagene Spa, Audrey's Market, free beach chairs, a daily newspaper, three pools, and pool towels. Laundry facilities, a game room, and beach activities are available, and the Marina portion of Pink Shell is pet-friendly. For more information, visit www.pinkshell.com or call 855-203-5105. Pink Shell is a proud Commander sponsor of AGLCA.
And we're back with Herb Seaton, our harbor host for Tarpon Springs, who is sharing with us some local knowledge. As loopers finish their golf crossing, they are, many of them are landing in Tarpon Springs for a nice little respite there. Herb, one of the great things about Tarpon Springs is that besides the things there are to see and do right on the water aboard your boat, there's plenty to do on land there as well. So fill us in a little bit about the city itself and its history and the things there are to see and do there.
Yeah, sure. I love Tarpon Springs, as I said. I spent 33 years in Germany, so I'm used to European culture. You never got in a hurry to eat, and that's the way the Greeks are. They're never in a hurry to do much of anything. And initially, the earliest settlers to that area, it's amazing, was over 500 years ago. And we know that because they buried their dead in earthen mounds just like the Indians, and they included pottery and other goods, I guess, to help them on their journey. One mound was discovered early in the 1800s, and there was more than 600 skeletons in there. And a lot of the artifacts out of that can be seen right down in the middle of Tarpon Springs at the railroad station, where they took that and they turned it into a museum. The first settlers from the United States were actually from South Carolina. They came in about 1876, a man and his single daughter. I don't know why she'd do that, but soon afterwards, a single man came. Can you imagine that? And they were married. They were married, and so there's where it started. Most of the people, there's a beautiful spring bayou that's right there in the middle of the city, not real close to the sponge docks, but it's well worth seeing. It's there's a lot of original Victorian houses that are surrounding that. A lot of money people came down to get away from the cold to, you know, vacation in the summertime, just like they do now. And you can go there, and there's manatee swimming in there. And one of the activities not happening right now, but in the early spring, they have an epiphany, diving for a cross that the archbishop from the Greek Orthodox Church, the man himself, comes, throws the cross in, the kids dive for it, and whoever gets it has luck for a year. In Florida, in the early 1880s, Florida was nearly bankrupt. Don't know if anybody knows that or not, but there was a wealthy manufacturer came down, and he bought 4 million acres from the state of Florida for 25 cents an acre. And he did that to harvest the trees and make wood to build houses. But it didn't take long for more settlers to come. And Tarpon Springs was the first incorporated city on the Pinellas Peninsula. And the railroad came in about, I don't know, it's some time after that. But one of the things that Tarpon Springs has always been known for is sponges. The commercial industry began around 1890, and the sponges were discovered actually in the Florida Keys in the early 1820s. And they had to figure out a way to harvest them. They were harvested with long poles with something on the end to pull the sponge up. And in the late 1870s, there were some turtle fishermen came up to Tarpon Springs, and on the mouth of the Anclot River, they were trying to harvest turtles and throwing their nets out. They were getting caught in these sponges, and the word leaked back to to Key West, and a lot of people came this way and started harvesting sponges. And actually, in the early 1890s, the business of sponges switched from Key West in Cuba and the Bahamas, and Tarpon Springs became known as the sponge central of the United States. And that's when the Greeks got involved. And here's how that happened. There was a professional buyer of sponges that came down Tarpon Springs, and he got together with some mechanical genius, I guess, and they built the first mechanized sponge boat in Tarpon Springs. And then they went to Greece and picked them up, 500 young kids, to dive for the sponges. And that was important because all the American kids couldn't hold their breath long enough. But the Greeks could sponge dive down, free dive, and pick up the sponges more than 100 feet. And that was really important, and stay down there a lot longer, too. And, of course, after they brought those kids, and the mom says, hey, I want to make sure my kids are right. So she comes and the rest of the family. Soon there's a big industry here, and you've got bakeries, Greek bakeries. I know where they are. I love fresh bread every day. Greek restaurants, Greek groceries. Anybody that likes anchovies, I'll take them, and they can buy them a can of anchovies that will probably last a year. And it'll be $10. My brother makes me bring them home all the time. A side note about that, another thing I really like. First time I went to Tarpon Springs and had a Greek salad. I remember how they were made in Germany by Greek restaurants over there. And I got mine, and right in the middle of it was a big glob of potato salad. I said, wait a minute, you've given me the wrong salad. The lady came over and explained to me that they've been doing that since the beginning. And the reason for that is when these kids would go out diving, they would come in and they would need to renew their energy. And lettuce just doesn't do it for me either. And they put them potato salad in there, and that gave them a lot more energy to continue diving. Well,
that's interesting. And they still do that today.
They still do that. You can't buy one there without it.
So what are some of your favorite Greek restaurants in Tarpon Springs?
Well, I go to Costas. It's a family restaurant. And something unusual occurrence that happened the other day by my niece from West Palm Beach, where I was this weekend. They wanted to come up and see my boat. I bought a new one to go to. I actually bought it to live on. But then I heard about the Loop deal, and I said, I got to get in this. I'll take that boat on the Loop. And they came up to see it. She brought her family. And I said, okay, we're going to go over to Costas to eat. And we were the only Americans in there. It was Sunday afternoon, and that's when they had their family day. I bet you there was 10 families in there. You couldn't hear anything. And they were all talking back and forth. And, you know, and my family sits down there and I order something Greek. A friend of mine that's going on the Loop with me, Randy, orders something Greek. And then they order a fish sandwich, a hamburger with nothing on it, a vegetable plate. I said, wait a minute. I mean, this is it's actually the best Greek food you can get out of. Being in Tarpon Springs, I was in Greece when I was in Europe 3 times. And this is just like going there without having to pay for the airfare. It's just like being in Greece. You've got the little Greek boats and things where they, you know, it's a lot of touristy. But it is also, you do not see very many T-shirt shops like you do in Key West. This is Greek stuff that they have. Sponges you can buy, soap you can buy. The same thing you buy everywhere else. And I had to say that it's a country within a country.
Certainly one of the unique stops. Yeah, certainly one of the unique stops on the Great Loop. Any other land excursions that you would recommend people, you know, must see while they're there in Tarpon Springs?
Well, if people are into art, Tarpon Springs is a very artsy place. I've seen every museum in, I think, in Europe, but there's people who know it. Aleppo Ratner Museum of Art opened in 2002 here. And they have 6,000 works for those two artists from the 20th and 21st century. Like I said, the Tarpon Springs Historical Society took that train station and converted it into a museum. And a lot of those artifacts from those earthen burial grounds are in there. And Tarpon Springs has a very active arts program. They have the Culture Center. They have a Performing Arts Center. They have a Stafford House, a Heritage Museum. And it's all one thing that's also very interesting. They have a replay museum, amusement museum, and it's home to a collection. They've got over 100 vintage and classical museum machines, amusement machines that are actually museum pieces. And they're included there, pinball, skeet ball, video arcade, jukeboxes and all. And they're all set on free play. You can go in there and play those and see them.
Oh, wow.
And take pictures of them and so forth. Parks. The good thing about all of Florida is, I have to say, being from East Tennessee, they have beautiful parks here, and they're well maintained. The one at Spring Bayou, where you can sit there and see the manatees and relax and so forth. They always have. I'd have to check and see what is coming up on the calendar of events. But there's about 10 or 12 parks around here. The one where you come in, where you can anchor just as you get into the channel, that's marked on active captain. That's a place that's a recreation area. And as I said, where the big smokestack sits, there's two side-by-side county parks, different parks run by different people because you're in a different region. But and another good thing for loopers with dogs, there is a brand new dog park that's located less than a quarter of a mile from the end of the main street at the Sponge Docks. Take
that's
your dog over there.
It is.
We get a lot of questions from loopers
with their dog on, where can they walk their dog in certain cities. So that's always helpful information.
Well, I need to walk anyway. I'll take them over and show them where to walk. one of the other things is Home Depot is 5 minutes away. There's Publix and Winn-Dixie, grocery stores, 5 minutes away. Ace Hardware, 5 minutes away. Plenty of facilities around there, and I've got an expedition that's willing to take anybody anywhere for however long they need to go. Not a problem.
Well. And as Herb said early in this conversation, he's fairly new to AGLCA and still in the planning stages of the Great Loop, but Herb has been extremely generous with offers to help other loopers who are coming through with rides to all of those places he just mentioned, with local knowledge, with figuring out where to go and where to tie up and what to see. So a great example of how people who maybe haven't done the loop yet but are wanting to learn more can get involved, because now Herb, while he's got some loopers in his expedition taking them to Home Depot, he can pick their brains about how the loop trip has been. So it's a great
way
to learn.
That's exactly what I'm looking for.
So it's a win-win for people stopping in Tarpon Springs and getting in touch with Herb. And Herb has been very generous with his time. Most of our harbor hosts do the exact same types of things. So certainly they're easy to find. If you remember, you can go to the harbor host section on the webpage and find someone in the city that you're in. You can also use the interactive map on the webpage to geographically find someone near you. So thanks to all the harbor hosts out there, and thanks especially to Herb. Herb, we're going to have to stop there for today because we're just about out of time. But again, thank you. Appreciate the local knowledge. It's been really helpful, I know, for all of the people that are headed your way.
You're welcome, Kim, and I've enjoyed it. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you. If you're looking for more Great Loop information, you can visit our website at www.greatloop.org. We will be back next week with another episode of Great Loop Radio. Until then, safe cruising.